This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on Monday, the 20th of March, the International Day of Happiness. My name is Audrey Raj. Angeline Tay joins me in the studio today with some pretty interesting stories on turmoil at Uber and Alibaba coming to town.
The e-commerce giant is making its first big investment in Malaysia. Looks like our PM's move to appoint Jack Ma as his government's digital economy advisor is already proving to be fruitful. Mm. And since it's Monday, you know we'll be giving you a rundown of events happening near you this week. So if you want, you should stay around to tune in for that. But first up, we've got some news affecting our neighbours in Indonesia and their ride-sharing companies.
Yeah, so almost a year ago, Indonesia's Ministry of Transportation, they finally acknowledged the legality of ride-hailing apps. But the rules also spelled out requirements like road safety certificates for all Indonesian cars. And startups like Grab, Uber and Gojek were given 6 months to comply, and then they extended that for another 6 months. So by April 2017, which is in just a few weeks, the rules will come into full effect.
But what this does is that it gives the government power to limit fleet sizes and setting minimum and maximum fares for rides. Of course, with this regulation, it doesn't sit well with, you know, Grab, Uber and Gojek. Mm. So they actually put all their rivalries aside for a moment and they co-signed a letter to the ministry.
Yeah, so in the letter, they demanded a few things to the government, which is to be more efficient in the procedure to acquire road safety certification, because this affects all of them, to reconsider introducing a limit on the number of cars allowed to join ride-hailing fleets, to reconsider introducing caps to the minimum and maximum fares charged by the apps, and to reconsider making it necessary for drivers to register cars under the name of a company or a cooperative.
And the past year has been a confusing tug of war for the ride-hailing companies. There's the public's demand for ride-hailing services on one side, and then traditional transportation providers protecting their interests on the other, and various government regulations in the middle just throwing their weight behind either side. You know, it's going to stay messy even after April deadline, when, you know, when we reach that deadline.
Sounds very familiar to what's kind of like happening here. Yeah. What has happened here. So ambitions to make Indonesia Southeast Asia's leading digital economy come all the way from the top. So limiting ride hailing apps to the point where they could consider pressing pause, which happened in Taiwan recently, is very unlikely if you think about it.
Yeah, and on the other hand, you know, going to our neighbor Singaporean authorities just approved surge pricing for taxis. You know, like how Uber and GrabCar have that surge pricing due to increased demand and your fare will end up double the price. Now taxis in Singapore are free to use this surge mechanism as well. As though it's not expensive already.
Exactly. You know, so according to a statement by Singapore's Land Transport Authority and the Public Transport Council, the authorities have accepted proposals by taxi companies and Grab that will allow them to introduce dynamic fixed fares on rides booked through mobile apps. So this is just for if you book in advance.
And this means the app will display the total fare for your ride up front, just like an Uber or Grab car ride. It also means the fare will be affected by factors like passenger demand and car availability, otherwise known as surge pricing. So Grab will start offering dynamic fixed fares for taxis through a new unannounced service. So metered fares are not going away. Grab Taxi, for example, which is a traditional cab hailing service, will still be available to users for this type of booking.
So Smart Taxis, or SMRT Taxis, one of the largest taxi operators in Singapore, today announced a deal with Grab to use its service as its exclusive third-party booking app. The company will also continue to use its own booking app as well.
Yeah, so it's like a collaboration between the two, right? So Grab is the first app to offer the dynamic fixed fares for taxis. So it will do so through a new, the unannounced service. It's so secretive. And according to Channel News Asia, the new service will be called Just Grab. And will assign either a taxi or private hire car to the user, depending on which driver picks up the booking. And the fee structure will be the same one used by GrabCar.
So I guess this comes as the market is maturing and customers are open to having dynamic fixed fares. At least they know upfront what they'll be paying, right?
Yeah.
And this also helps the taxi companies to stay competitive as well. So we'll see if it comes here. You know, these ideas, how they float around. And
yeah, I mean, at least upfront, like you say, upfront is better than haggling towards the end. When you arrive at your destination, you know you have to pay more.
Yeah, that's true. I'm okay with upfront. All right, we've got some music for you right now. But when we come back, news on Uber: the company's president has resigned. But first, here's the Lemonheads with Mrs. Robinson, BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bites with Angeline and Audrey. So it's not really been the best week, or you can say month, for Uber. Now with news that the company is losing its president, Jeff Jones, after less than a year. Mm. It's a really short duration. This is not the CEO, people. This is the company's number two executive, who's been with Uber for about 6 months.
Yeah, the departure comes amid a series of sexual harassment allegations, as well as Uber being hit by a lawsuit from Waymo, which is Google Alphabet self-driving car unit. This, you know, threatens to potentially kneecap Uber's autonomous driving efforts.
Yeah, so Uber CEO Travis Kalanick apparently told employees he was planning on bringing on some parental supervision at the company in the form of a COO, a chief operating officer. But that doesn't seem to be stopping the turmoil and affecting employee morale at Uber. Reports also claim that the news about bringing in the new CEO didn't go down well with Jeff Jones.
Just some background on Jeff here. Jeff Jones was certainly touted by Uber CEO Kalanick as a big hire when he arrived at Uber from Target mid last year. At Target, he was the company's well-regarded CMO. So his job at Uber, among others, was to remake the company's tainted image. He also was president of its main ride-sharing business and spent much of the beginning of his tenure meeting with drivers, after which he sent drivers an email about what he learned and what the company intends to do.
It seems like very hands-on, right? When he resigned, or he actually released a statement just after quitting Uber, he said that he joined Uber because of its mission and the challenge to build a global capability, to build global capabilities that would help the company mature and thrive in the long term. But it has recently become clear that the beliefs and approach of leadership at Uber that guided his career were inconsistent with what he saw and experienced at the company. So he said that he could no longer continue as president of the ride-sharing business.
Yeah, this is like number two, right, after that sexual harassment long post by the engineer.
Yeah.
Wow. So the media outlet that broke the story about Jeff leaving Recode, however, is reporting that Jeff's departure is directly related to the controversies at Uber, which, if you haven't noticed, seem to be getting worse. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, people viewed that Uber was taking advantage of a major protest amid Donald Trump's immigration ban. Yeah. That spawned a whole hashtag Delete Uber campaign, which once again flared up following explosive allegations of sexual harassment and the embedded culture within the company that, you know, spawned this whole thing.
Yeah, and the trouble, then came the trouble with Waymo. Uber's self-driving efforts are facing a ton of scrutiny following allegations from Alphabet that the company is using stolen trade secrets. Alphabet is claiming that executives at Otto, which is a self-driving trucking unit Uber acquired, took trade secrets with them on their way out. So that's led to an already fiery legal battle, and Waymo filed for an injunction against Uber just, I think, this month.
Yeah, we've covered it, actually. And all this is not helping employee morale at Uber, and Jeff Jones is not the only recent departure at the SVP of Engineering, with the SVP of Engineering and former Google Amit Singhal leaving the company at the end of February in just a span of a month. You know, it really seems like the top of Uber's organizational chart is going to be looking very different. We'll see how they weather the storm.
Yes, only time will tell if this will have a meaningful impact on Uber's culture or even the perception of its culture, right? If you think about it. So we'll just have to wait and see. And we're going for a quick break right now. But when we come back, we have that story for you on Alibaba coming to town. BFM 89.9.
Bruce, Freddie, Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Angeline and Audrey on Enterprise Biz Bites. So like we said earlier in the show, Alibaba is coming to town. Yes, I was coming to town. You know, this reminds me of Christmas for some reason.
I know. I think you did that on purpose.
I don't know, subconsciously maybe. So Alibaba Group plans to set up a regional distribution hub right here in Malaysia to cater to its fast-growing business in the region. The hub would be sited within KLIA Aeropolis, the 24,000-acre development led by MAHB that is expected to generate more than 7 billion ringgit worth of domestic and foreign investments. Big money here.
Yeah, and the hub will be set up with the help of Malaysia's state-linked agencies, and it was not clear whether Alibaba would invest any funds in the project. Mm. But according to The Star, KLIA has existing facility for Alibaba Group to pilot their distribution services. And if Alibaba decides to expand in the future, there is option to build more on the underdeveloped sites in KLIA.
Yeah, so this would mark Alibaba's first investment in Malaysia, if you think about it. The company invested $1 billion last year to control Singapore-based e-commerce platform Lazada, Southeast Asia's largest online shopping platform. It also increased its shareholding in Singapore Post to 14.4% in 2014 and bought a 20% stake in Thai e-payment service Ascend Money. So now it's time for Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. And the ties between Malaysia and Beijing have blossomed in recent months with the surge of investments from China. China agreed to buy assets of state fund 1MDB for $2.3 billion in December 2015.
Yes, and our Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Tun Razak returned from November's Beijing visit with 14 agreements amounting to $34.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Big sum there, which included an agreement to buy four Chinese naval vessels and collaboration to build rail projects right here in Malaysia.
Yep, and sources said that the distribution hub would be part of Malaysia's digital free trade zone slated to be launched during Jack Ma's visit this week.
Yeah, so we'll have more news on that later this week when the details are available to us. We do have details on some interesting events lined up for the week in the Klang Valley. That's up next on Enterprise Biz Bites. First, more music, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Angie and Audrey. Anyway, it's a Monday, so we're going to run down some pretty interesting events happening this week so that you can turn this week into an even more productive one. First up, there's the Klang Valley Digital Enclave Roadshow that's happening on Friday, March 23rd at Park Lane Commercial at Jalan SS7. The event starts right after lunch at 2 p.m. and should end by 5 p.m.
This digital enclave basically places an objective for SMEs who want to transform their businesses landscape by unlocking the growth hack in the Internet of Things era. Mm. This series is tailored for small and medium business owners aiming to drive their businesses forward by learning from the leading brands such as Google and Bitdefender.
Yeah, their two main panels are Strategies to Growth, Hack Your Sales with Google by Rebecca Sicardi from Google, and Cybersecurity Predictions of 2017 by Michael Lim from Bitdefender. And you can get your tickets from PeteTix.com, or else walk-in participants will be charged the regular registration fee of 30 ringgit. Mm.
Next up, there's a founders meetup happening on Friday, March 24th at the Think Big Hub at Bukit Tunggu. It's basically a panel session consisting of a few entrepreneurs dishing out business wisdom and tips to other aspiring entrepreneurs in attendance.
Yeah, some of the speakers include Eddie Law of eLawyer, Jin Tan of Sports Play Asia, and Yap Su Yi of Royal Demure. They'll discuss how to attract VC and raise funds, when's the right time to register your IP, what you should be looking for when employing staff, and do you need to enter into shareholders agreement as well. Some pertinent questions there.
Yeah, very law-centric actually. Mm. Early bird tickets can be booked at 20 ringgit, and then it's 30 ringgit for regular tickets, and if you want a two-person combo, it's 40 ringgit. Mm. And again, tickets can be booked at ptix.com.
And lastly, just a heads up that we have a BFM Edge event called Corporate Entrepreneurship in a VUCA World happening next Tuesday, March 28th, and tickets are already available online via ptix.com. It'll be a lively evening to get answers from Anwar Jumaboy, co-author of Nine Entrepreneurism, as he shares insights from his research and interviews of over, 100 innovative organizations in the States, Australia, India, Singapore, as well as companies right here in Malaysia.
Yeah, we actually interviewed him late last year, just before he launched the book, and he just published the book this year. So he's quite happy that he's got it out on the shelves. Mm. So if you've ever asked yourself, what is the difference between an entrepreneur and intrapreneur, or how can you develop the skills of becoming an intrapreneur? How do you survive bureaucracy and make your case for doing things differently in a highly structured and regulated environment? This is a very pertinent question for all of us working in a corporate companies, right? And even if you as a leader, how do you develop a culture and mindset of intrapreneurship? So if you want to know the answers to any of these questions, then you should head down to work at Glow Damansara next Tuesday.
Yeah, tickets are 20 ringgit and the event itself should start at about 6:30 p.m. right after you get off work, and it should end by 9:30 p.m. you know, just in time for you to beat the traffic and head on home.
And remember, if you missed any of these, you can always check out our podcast page and we'll have the links up to all these events for your convenience and it will be listed there.
Yeah, that'll do it for us on this edition of Enterprise Biz Bites. Before we sign off, let's do a quick recap of the stories we covered today. Grab, Uber and Gojek have come together in Indonesia to protest new regulatory rules that might badly affect the ride-hailing ecosystem in the country. The rules include road safety certifications for all cars, and this actually, all these rules come into effect over the next few weeks, April 2017.
And then we spoke about more bad news for Uber. Their president, Jeff Jones, has left the company amidst all the chaos, and reports also claim that bringing in a COO didn't go down well with Jeff Jones. This really just adds another layer of problems to Uber's mess right now.
Yeah, then we covered how Alibaba Group plans to set up a regional distribution hub right here in Malaysia to cater to its fast-growing business in the region. The hub would be sited within KLIA Aeropolis, a 24,000-acre development by MAHB, and is expected to generate more than 7 billion ringgit worth of domestic and foreign investments. Mm.
And of course, we kept things off with events that are happening this week. Coming up next is the Breakfast Grill replay. Christine Ng, CEO of People Lender, is on the show. One of six peer-to-peer lending platforms is approved by the Securities Commissions, and People Lender aims to fulfill a financing gap in the industry where startups and entrepreneurs are unable to secure the funding they need. Christine Ng discusses the credit risks involved with P2P lending and regulatory framework.
Yep, and that's all the time we have on today's show. Don't forget to check out our BFM app, available on the App Store and on Google Play. If you miss any of these stories, the best way to listen is on our mobile app. This is Audrey Raj.
And Angeline T.
Yes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.